Kay Arthur encourages parents to continually pray for their kids to come to the saving knowledge of God, but she also has this reminder.
You are the messenger, but you are not the Savior. And if your child doesn't come to know the Lord, it is not your fault. You know, because everyone has to make their own decision.
This is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss for Monday, November 11th. Last Friday on Revive Our Hearts, we talked about the value of older women teaching younger women. Today, we'll hear from a woman who's done just that. For several decades, she's poured her life into teaching others to love God's Word. Here's Nancy to get things going.
Well, I am so thankful for the chance to have this conversation with my longtime friend, Kay Arthur. And Kay, thank you for taking time out as we approach your 80th birthday to have this conversation. I know it's going to be such a blessing to our listeners. Thanks for joining us.
Well, Nancy, honey, you know how much I love you and how much I appreciate you. And I'm so thankful for your knowledge of the Word of God, for your integrity, for your vulnerability, for the privilege of calling you my sister and working with you. And I thank God for these we've had more than 12 years together, but especially for these last 12 years and what God has done.
Well, I would just echo that from my perspective. And I remember those early conversations we had as I was getting ready to launch out into this ministry. And you were one of a small number of women ministry leaders who you were such a friend and have been through these years and an encourager. And it's just, it was so sweet that there was no spirit of competition with a new program starting, but you did everything you could and you have continued to affirm and encourage and me and this ministry. And I thank you for that. I also thank you for just the role that you've had over many years now in studying and teaching the Word of God to so many, maybe millions of listeners, readers, people all around the world. And over these next couple of days, we want to talk about your life in ministry, but also about Precept Ministries, what the Lord has done. And I just thank you for pouring yourself out on behalf of Christ and His people. And we want to honor and bless and thank you for that today.
Thank you. It's hard to believe I'm going to be 80. I think, Lord, that sounds so old. In fact, in my I keep a paper calendar as well as one on my computer and on my iPhone and my iPad, but because I'm just paper-oriented sometimes sitting at my desk so I can see the whole month, you know, at a glance. And I have November 11th, my 80th birthday, Lord willing. So,
and as we're having this conversation, it's still several weeks before your birthday. And so let me ask you, do you have any special plans for your birthday that you know of?
Do you know that David and the staff were talking about giving me a party? And I said, you know, I really don't want one. I really, you know, I want to go over to David and Margaret's and have dinner with them, and I want to have lunch with my girlfriends but I have no plans for a big birthday. It's not about me. I am so passionate and about what's ahead, and I just feel such a passion to prepare people for the days ahead. On September the 11th in the year 2001, I was teaching the book of Joshua. And my son Mark, and you know Mark, and Mark loves you and that, but my son Mark was on staff at that time, and I was getting dressed to come down because we were doing the precept course. And he said, Mom, turn on TV quick. And I turned it on just in time to see the second plane go into the tower. And I was teaching Joshua chapter 3 that day. And Joshua chapter 3, verse 4 says, and he's talking about, you know, that they're going to cross the river and they're going to take the Ark of the Covenant. And he says, do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you shall go. And then this statement just grabbed me, for you have not passed this way before.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says, Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves. Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And here it is, 12 years later, we had not passed that way before. And I think things for a while got better in the United States, but like you, I am very concerned about our culture. I'm very concerned about our country, because we don't even come close as a nation to fearing God, respecting God, knowing God, understanding God. And so the ministry that you're doing and the ministry that we are doing is what it's all about. You know, it's not about celebrating an individual or that. It's about setting your face like a flint, in preparation for the coming of the King of Kings.
Well, and you have been such a faithful servant in trumpeting that heart and that message. I've heard you speak on revival and a burden for the church and for this country numerous times over the years. And you've been kind of a modern-day prophetess just with the Word of God and how practically and powerfully it applies to our day, our era. And over the next couple of days, I want to let you share more about your burden for our country, and as you turn 80, what you see and what your heartbeat is and what we can be doing about the times in which we're living. And it's just been sweet to see, Kay, how the Lord has raised up women and men, but women like you who've had a message for such a time as this. But if we go back to your early life, you know, your life could have gone a totally different direction if it had not been for the amazing grace of God. Am I right?
Exactly. And as a matter of fact, this morning, I need 8 to 9 hours of sleep. and the Lord has just shown me that if I'm going to walk without the stress, that I've got to get enough sleep. But my husband wasn't feeling good, and so he woke me up anyway. But I came into our converted carport that I now call a parlor. So, but anyway, I came in here just so I could turn on the light and have time with the Lord. And I was thinking about that very thing that you asked me about, where I was headed, what I was like, just the grace, the incredible grace mm-hmm. of God. And I just began to thank Him for that amazing, awesome grace
yes.
that would reach down to this woman who was married, divorced, immoral, telling God that I knew that I had to quit living the way I was. And after shaking my fist in his face and saying, to hell with you, God, I'll see you around town. I'm going to find someone to love me, you know, and turning away and looking for love in all the wrong places, and coming from a religious family, but not knowing the word, not hearing the word, not an evangelical atmosphere like you and I are used to now, but just God plucking me out of that. I have a sister that it's just a strain for her to even talk with me. You know, I have a brother that won't talk to me. And of course, my mother and dad are deceased. But just to think that God, in His mercy, would reach down and take this woman that, you know, for all intents and purposes, would be described as a harlot. You know, a harlot with two boys, which is horrible. It's one thing to be a harlot without children. It's another thing to be a harlot with children because of the impact on the children. And that he would turn me around and give me this life and allow me to stand and to teach and proclaim his very words that have come out of his mouth and that have been preserved for us in all generations and which will not pass away. His words that are truth, it just is mind-boggling.
You know, I think, Kay, that's got to be a great encouragement for some of our listeners who have young adult daughters or sons who are not walking with the Lord, who are maybe where you were back in your 20s, and to know that God really can reach down. He's the hound of heaven, that he can pursue them and bring them to repentance and faith and change their lives and use them in a great way for his kingdom. So I'm just thinking as you're sharing that, that a message for some moms of adult children today, maybe don't give up. Don't stop praying. Don't stop believing that God really can capture the heart of that that loved one or that friend who is so far from the Lord.
You know, there's a verse, and it's in Isaiah, and it says that the Lord's ear is not deaf that it cannot hear.
Yeah.
And his arm is not short that it cannot rescue. You know, and nothing is impossible with him. And right now I'm writing an inductive study course on Acts. And of course, in Acts, you see the conversion of Saul, who is later called Paul. Saul, you know, his Jewish name, his Hebrew name, Paul, his Gentile, you know, counterpart name. And you look at him and you read in 1 Timothy that he calls himself the chief of sinners, that he's not worthy, you know, to be called an apostle. And then when you read Acts and you go through and you see him standing there and Stephen's being stoned and he's just heard this message, and then it says that he left Saul breathing out threats and grabbing people and putting them to death and putting them in prison, and so blind to who Christ is, so zealous, you know, for the Jewish religion, and so messed up, so to speak, in his theology. And then he meets Jesus. And God turns him around. But the interesting thing for our listeners is the Spirit says to him, it's hard for you. Is it Jesus says to him, it's hard for you to kick against the goads, isn't it? In other words, you have these pricks. You have these convictions. You have these doubts, and they're growing. And it's hard for you, isn't it? And I really am who they believe I am. And I think, you know, what we've sown in the hearts of our children, God can take and God can use. And God does not always bring reconciliation between you and a child. I have a son I'm not reconciled with, you know. And you know the reason I can live with it, Nancy, in the same way that these women that are listening need to know, God is sovereign. He rules over all. The heart of the king is in his hand, and my consolation is always this. He doesn't lose a single one. He says in John 17, Father, all that you have given me have come to me. And so if Judas had lived to be, you know, 10,000 years old, Judas never would have been saved. And so I think that we pray, we realize that God's heart, hand is not short, his ear is not deaf, and we pray and we beseech God, and we ask God, how do I pray for this prodigal, or how do I pray for my child or for my friend that are in rebellion, that are blind to sin? And we pray, but we remember. And I think parents especially need to remember this. You are not the Savior.
Yes.
You know, you are the messenger, but you are not the Savior. And if your child doesn't come to know the Lord, it is not your fault, you know, because everyone has to make their own decision.
You know, as I think about, you brought up the Apostle Paul, and certainly he had to have, to have struggled with regret or guilt as he thought about his past. And you mentioned your past prior to coming to Christ at the age of 30. And I know we have listeners who have a past that they're ashamed of, and some of them continue to live in shame or regret or guilt. How have you dealt with those issues as you think about your past sins and failures? How did you deal with, was that a process for you? Was it just in a moment when you came to Christ that that you put that behind you, or was there a journey for you in dealing with that?
There was a journey. The psalmist tells us, Psalm 107, he says he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all their destructions. And, you know, just I think the more that we are in the Word and you believe the Word of God and you study the Word of God and you saturate yourself with the Word of God, that this is the Word that he brings to us. I just, my mind goes all these different places when you say, you know, about a guilty conscience and that. But I think about Hebrews. I love the book of Hebrews. Mm-hmm. I love all the books of the Bible, but I love the book of Hebrews, and I love the fact that we have a high priest that can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, a high priest who was tempted in all points as we are, and yet without sin. When I go, we go to Israel every year, and at the house of Caiaphas, I share the whole arrest, trial, and crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And this last time, I was telling him what happened to me in the Garden of Gethsemane, because when you're out there on that patio, you can see where the Garden of Gethsemane is. You can see, you know, the direction of the upper room. You're right by the steps that Jesus would come up to come to the house of Caiaphas. And so I told them about the time when I was tempted. A handsome Arab was leading our, he was our agent at the time. He picked me up at the hotel. This is years ago. I had an ear infection. We're walking out of the hotel. Two Arab men walk in. They say something in Arabic. I don't have, you know, I don't know any Arabic except shukran, thank you. And so we get in the car. He that puts me in the front seat. It's a gorgeous day. He opens the door where he's going to sit down as the driver, closes the door, puts his arm behind me on the seat, looks at me, and all of a sudden, now you've got to remember I have an immoral past, so all of a sudden within me there rises this desire to flirt with this man. Now here I am. I'm a Bible teacher. I'm teaching in Israel, you know, and here I am dealing with this desire, this lust of the flesh. And I had a choice then to either witness to that man, because although he professed Christ, I knew he didn't believe in him, or to have that momentary flirt. When I got to the Garden of God, of course I witnessed to him and shared, and he said to me, you know, I've been here with lots of great men. No one's ever explained it to me like you have. Mm-hmm. I'm teaching in the Garden of Gethsemane, and it's talking about Jesus, and it's talking about him saying, Father, if it's possible, take this cup from me. And he has said to them, I want you to keep watching and praying, for the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And I said that, and I began to cry as I was teaching it. And I thought, Lord, you know the flesh is weak. You know, you understand, because you had to pray three times. Not my will, but thine be done. If it's possible, take this cup from me. And so you understand. You understand that the flesh is weak. So when I have guilt, first of all, I have a Savior that can understand the temptations that I deal with. Hebrews teaches this. When I get to Hebrews chapter 10, And he's talking about this awesome sacrifice that Jesus made once for all for our sins, paid in full. There remains no more sacrifice for sin. And then I get down to the bottom of chapter 10, and he says this. He says that we can draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience.
Yes.
That means from guilt.
Mm-hmm.
And our bodies washed with pure water. And so what we have to do is constantly remember what we have in Christ Jesus. I love that hymn. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that blood lose all their guilty stains. And so I think the guilt that you're dealing with, the failures as a mother, the failures as a parent, as a wife, or whatever that your child is hurting from, wounded by, accusing you of, you have to go back to Jesus. You have to go back to him. You have to go back to who he is. You have to go back to the fact that he's the one that was there when God spoke and brought the world into existence. And John 1 tells us that all things came into being by him. He created you. He chose you in Christ Jesus, in himself, before the foundation of the world. And you live in the light of that. And you move past your emotions. And you move past your failures. And you move past your past.
Mm-hmm.
Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind, I press forward towards the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And in that same passage, he says, I count all things as loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I might win Christ.
Kay Arthur has been illustrating for us in such a beautiful way the value and the beauty and the wonder of getting into God's Word and getting God's Word into your heart. And I hope that as you've been listening to her, your own appetite has been whetted to open God's Word, to get into it, and to let it transform your life as it has hers. Well, as Kay celebrates her 80th birthday this week, I know that many of our listeners would like to send her a birthday greeting or perhaps share a personal testimony of how God has used this woman and Precept Ministries in your life to give you a greater love for God's Word, to teach you how to study God's Word. So if you'll go to reviveourhearts.com, pull up the transcript of today's program, there's a comment blog at the end of the transcript where you can write your message to Kay, and then we'll send those greetings and those words of encouragement to Kay at the end of this week. Kay, thanks so much for this conversation, and we're looking forward to continuing it when we come back on Revive Our Hearts tomorrow.
Thanks, Nancy. If you've been intrigued by today's conversation between Nancy Lee DeMoss and Kay Arthur, I hope you'll learn more from our guest. Kay Arthur wrote a book that will show you how to dig into the Bible, understand it, and apply it. Kay's book is called Discover the Bible for Yourself. We'd like to send you a copy when you support Revive Our Hearts with a gift of any size. Your gift will help us continue providing the Revive Our Hearts podcast each weekday. We can't continue producing the program and hosting it online without support from listeners like you. When you donate any amount, ask for Discover the Bible for Yourself by Kay Arthur. Our number is 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Or visit reviveourhearts.com. Well, when you read the Bible, God is speaking to you directly.
What do you mean you can't study the Word? It's God's Word. God's speaking. These are words that He has breathed, that He has written, that are your life, of course. Spend it in the Word.
Kay Arthur talks about the wonder of this concept tomorrow. Please be back for Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.